Now for our offertory hymn, let's all stand and turn to page 180, the first Noel. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse.
Thank you for each and everything you do for us.
Yes.
For all the blessings you give to us. Father, we know we're not worthy of those, but we thank you for those anyway. Father, as we give back to you this morning our tithes and offerings, we just pray that we're able to use them in your behalf to further your word and to be a witness for you. Now go with us the rest of this message as this morning goes and be guide us, direct us in the things we do. We ask all these things this morning, Lord, in your holy precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, for our praise hymn, let's all turn to page 201, Emmanuel 201. Let's stand as we sing. Choir comes down, please greet each other in God's love. Practice. So we've got a couple of songs for you. Emma's going to sing our first one. Of course, Ansley sang for us this morning, and we're going to hear from some more of these in just a little while. Hope you enjoy it.
Shepherds left their flocks by night to see this baby wrapped in light, a host of angels, led them all to you. It was just as the angel said, you'll find him in a manger bed, Emmanuel and Savior, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The stars shone bright up in the east, to Bethlehem the wise men three came many miles in journey long for you. Into the place at which you were, their frankincense and golden myrrh, they gave to you and cried, oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Rescue me, this baby boy would grow to be a man and one day died for me and you. My sins would drive the nails in you, that rugged cross was my cross too, still every breath you drew was hallelujah, hallelujah.
Great job, everybody.
Amen.
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 Sounding good. Everybody did. At this time, Brother Wayne Jackson's class is going to come and do the next lighting of the Advent candle. So we're going to turn it over to Brother Wayne and his class for the next few minutes.
Waiting is hard in a fast-paced society. We want the stoplight to change quickly, the grocery line to move fast, and Christmas morning to arrive soon. We forget that before good things happen, preparations must be made.
Last week, we lit the prophecy candle and remembered those who first spoke the promise of the coming Christ child.
The second candle on the Advent wreath is called a Bethlehem candle. It is a symbol of the preparations being made to receive and pray the Christ child.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Let us pray. Dear God, in this very busy season with so many things to do, help us to hear anew your voice calling us to prepare the way for our Lord and Savior Jesus. Call us to repentance. Live in us by your Spirit that our lives will produce good fruit to the praise and honor of your name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Amen. Good to see everybody here today. I want to thank Brother Tim for playing the piano. Always does a great job.
Amen.
In Miss Della's absence today. And for everybody that sang, I don't know about you, but that lifted me up today. Choir did a great job, Ansley and Emma and the youth choir that sang. And just a good way to get the service started off here today.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be looking today in Matthew chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. We're getting the sermon notes handed out.
And, praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of you glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got to get this crowd woke up here a little bit. You know, it gets cold and everybody gets a little cranky. Louise was coming down out of the choir and her leg locked up and she about went over into the Christmas tree. Amen. But it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, it didn't land in it, landed near it. So that was good. Amen. I'm just thankful to be here today. Amen. I tell you. Last week we talked about the announcement. I entitled it part one of this probably about a 3-week series. And then we'll talk about the birth of Jesus, of course, on the 24th. And we talked about how the angel Gabriel came to Mary last week and made this great announcement that she had found favor with God and she was going to bring forth the Christ child. Well, this week we're going to kind of focus on Joseph a little bit here. You see, one preacher noted that Joseph in many ways is the forgotten man of Christmas, really, if you think about it. We don't, you know, you don't see any Christmas cards that talk about Joseph. You don't have any songs that mention Joseph in them. You know, there are a lot of songs that mention Mary and cards and so forth. He's not even the most well-known Joseph in the Bible. That Joseph was mentioned in the book of Genesis, amen. So this Joseph does not get a lot of recognition, but he played every bit as important a part in a way as Mary did, because this would be Jesus' earthly father. In spite of the fact that he didn't get a real speaking part here, he's central to the whole story of the birth of Jesus. Three times in the scripture, he's mentioned doing something important. And I think it's just important today to talk about Joseph a little bit and about when he found out about that Mary was pregnant with Jesus. And we're going to look at that a little bit, but perhaps the most telling statement about Joseph is how God describes him in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. I'm going to ask those of you that can, if you will, stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word. And we're going to begin with verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Reading out of God's word. And it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, let nothing I say in the next few minutes be about me, but let it be about you to glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Joseph was in a predicament here of sorts. Let's look at this picture here now. First of all, Mary gets visited by the angel Gabriel and told, hey, God has found favor with you, and your husband-to-be is of the lineage of David, and you're going to bring forth a son, and you're going to name him Jesus, and he is going to save his people from their sins. How many of you are glad Jesus is in the saving business? Amen. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? Because, hey, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be needing to meet here today. There wouldn't be any need for us discussing what we're discussing here today. But because of what happened all those years ago, as we unfold this story right here, we have hope and we have promise and we have a future in heaven one day for those of us who know Jesus as our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
That's going to be a truly great time. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with that child from the Holy Ghost. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, just man. We're going to look at that here for a little bit because that's how the Bible described Joseph. He was a just man. I think before we talk about that, though, it'd be important for me to mention a little bit about Jewish marriages. You see, according to one source that I read, ordinarily parents would draw up this legal marriage contract. And when the contract was signed, the boy and girl would be legally married. Now, it isn't like it is today where you get engaged and then, you know, it depends on how soon you want to get married after that. It could be a year, it could be 4 months, 5 months, however long. These engagements lasted for a whole year. So this was kind of a lengthy thing. Now, once that agreement was signed, they still could not live together for at least a year. So this long engagement was there for two reasons primarily. That 1 year waiting period was a time to test their commitment and faithfulness. Now, you know what? I'm beginning to wonder, wouldn't it be all right nowadays for us to have to do that too? To test our commitment and our faithfulness? Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are getting married in this day and age, and before that year's up, they're already in divorce court. They're already saying, this isn't going to work. You see, back then, they made sure it was going to work because you weren't really even considered completely married until that year was up. Until your faithfulness and your commitment had been tried and tested to see if you were really going to make it. It was also a time for the families to get more acquainted. You know, how many of you felt like at first you didn't really know your in-laws very well before you got married? I mean, I'm happy to say I knew mine. I thought I knew them fairly well. But you know, some people get married fairly quickly. They don't even have time to get to know their families, their extended families. So this was a time to be able to do that. And it was a time where if Joseph had died during that 1 year waiting period, Mary would have been considered a widow just as though she were married, which would have freed her from this agreement. The only way out of this marriage agreement during this 1 year would be through divorce. To get a divorce. That would be the only way because this was considered legal and binding here. When they signed this agreement, this was it. This was the document. This was what was going to happen. 1 year from now, they would be officially married. And the only way out of that would be through a divorce statement, a divorce decree. Now, Mary's in a tight spot here because I'm going to tell you this. The law decreed that a woman who was pledged to be married, who was not a virgin, could face a death sentence. Let's look over in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, things were tough back in the Old Testament days. Now, you didn't play around with this stuff back then. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, let's look at verse 20 and 21. Let me read for you verse 20 and 21. This is what could happen to a woman if she were caught in an act of adultery, if she had committed this sin prior to the engagement period being over with. Let's look at verse in Deuteronomy 22, verse 20 and 21. But if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. Now, that's pretty serious, isn't it? You get caught pregnant while you are in this engagement period, and you could be stoned to death for the female. So Mary was faced with a serious problem here. The law perfectly stated that, hey, she could be drug out and she could be stoned to death here. Now, I get the impression probably that the stoning of women in that day didn't happen very often, but a man who divorced his wife who'd gotten pregnant by another man was still pretty harsh. You know, such women that happened to were shunned by society. Guys, it isn't that way today, though, is it? I don't know of too many people that get shunned by society. You know why? Because society accepts this kind of behavior in this day and age. They accept this kind of behavior. You never will hear of something in the world happening where because somebody got pregnant before they got married and before their engagement period was over, being drug out and being stoned to death and killed for that. That certainly would never happen in this day and age, would it? It just wouldn't happen. What I find interesting in this part of the story is that God describes Joseph as a just man. A just man. Why is he a just man? Well, God tells us in the scripture, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, I got to wondering, just what does this word just mean? You know, I had my ideas about it, so I looked it up. I found that it was the Greek word dikaios, which means righteousness. Righteousness. Someone who is righteous is someone who tries to do the right thing. Guys, we don't have a lot of righteous people in this world anymore, do we? We don't have a lot of people who are trying to do the right thing, let alone following God's word. We got people that are on their own little way out here in society, just doing whatever they want to, whenever they want to, with whoever they want to. Amen? They're just doing whatever, whenever. There's not a lot of people that are really righteous people in this world today. So that sentence in the story about Joseph tells us two things right here that I believe. Number one, because Joseph was a just man, he was not going to look the other way on a moral issue. He wasn't going to look the other way on this moral issue. Mary's pregnant, that child is not his, and now he believes he can't trust her. He had every right to go and get a divorce according to the law, didn't he? He had every right to do that, but he was not going to turn his back on doing the right thing. Guys, when we turn our back on moral issues that are happening right in front of us, we are being disobedient and displeasing to God. Amen. We have got to realize this. In order for this world to get better, we cannot continue to turn a deaf ear on the immorality that goes on in this world today. If you believe that, say amen. Guys, we got too many things that are going on here. We wonder why our children are being influenced by this world. Just look at it. We're turning our back on things that are immoral. We're like saying, oh, I'm not going to get involved with that. Well, let me tell you something. We need to be getting involved with it because God's called us to be righteous. We're called to be righteous in His eyes. You see, Joseph was a just man. He was righteous. He wasn't going to have any part of this. And the only way to deal with this in his situation was to divorce her. That was what he believed was the only way to handle this. That would be what a just man would do in that situation. Guys, when it comes to morality, the world around us harshly rejects the idea of Christians standing up for morality. You know what the world would have us do? You just go on into your church house and you just have your sermon and you do whatever you want to inside that house and you leave us alone out here. We don't want you telling us what to do out here. You just do, you do your little church thing while you're inside here, and guess what? That's all some of us do, amen. That's all some of us do, is we do what we need to do inside here, and when we go out into that world that's lost and dying and we see it going on in the world, we just are like, oh no, I don't want to say anything about that because I don't want to get drug into that. Guys, don't be surprised if some of your own kids get pulled out into some of this stuff. If we're not willing to take a stand, then guess what? We better be prepared for what happens as a result of it. Because I'm going to tell you, it's time to take a stand for Jesus. Amen? It's time for people, for men and women that are godly men and women, to stand up and say, we're going to be just people. We're not going to turn our back on this. We're not going to ignore this. We're going to do what God's called us to do. See, when it comes to morality, the world rejects the idea of Christians standing up for morality. Folks would just as soon we shut up about what is right or wrong and go practice our faith in the church buildings. Just leave them alone. That's the way this world is, isn't it? Just leave me alone. I don't care what you do. You go ahead and do your Jesus thing, but don't mess with me. I'm doing what I want to do. Well, guys, you know what? Jesus has called us to be righteous. You know, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. In other words, none of us are righteous enough to get to heaven in and of our own free will and accord. But because of the birth of our Savior and the subsequent death of our Savior, by God's grace, we can find righteousness. We can be deemed righteous. We will face and see our Savior one day, for those of us who know Jesus. So you see, it's there for us. Jesus said that would happen, though. This shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. You know what Jesus said in His Word in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10? He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's a blessing when somebody persecutes you for standing up and doing the right thing. So why aren't we doing more of it? Amen. Why aren't we standing up and saying the things that need to be said? I'm going to tell you one thing. When I'm around it, whether it be the school setting or whatnot, I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to say, that's not right. I'm going to speak out and I'm going to say what I believe God wants me to say in those situations. My students call it preaching. Oh, here comes Coach. He's preaching again. He's fixing to start preaching again. I was like, yes, I am. Sit down. I'm fixing to preach for a minute. Amen. And they're right. Going to get a witness over here. Amen. So, you know what? I do that. And you know what? Let me share something with you. This touched my heart about a week or two ago. And this was affirmation for me from God. I got a letter from one of the students that I teach. And I've got this group of students that I'm concerned with them because they talk about going to parties all the time. And guys, you know what? I can't, it's not my position to judge people and all this. I just say, now you young ladies, I want you to conduct yourselves like young ladies and you be careful what you do and you watch out where you go. And you know what? One of them wrote me a little letter. It was sitting on my desk. And I wish I'd brought it with me. I try to remember and bring it next week. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase what it said. It says, Coach, thank you for teaching us the right way. Thank you for helping us be accountable as young ladies. We're going to miss you next year. And you know what? That was just like God telling me, okay, I want you to keep on doing that because you are making a difference. Don't think you're not making a difference in somebody else's life when you're trying to help them understand what's right and wrong.
Amen.
You're making a difference. You might not know. You might not even find out about it till you get to heaven. But you will make a difference in somebody's life if you're willing to stand up for what's right. You know, we fall for too many things in this world, don't we? We fall, we settle for second best when we could have the best. Amen?
Amen.
We fall for second best so many times when we could have the best, and that's Jesus. He doesn't ask a lot of us just to serve Him, to love our neighbors, to love Him and put Him first in our life. That's all He's asking. But you know, Jesus already said, hey, you're going to get persecuted for being righteous, but consider it a blessing.
Amen.
And that's what I consider it. Amen. How many of you are glad you get blessed for being righteous?
Amen.
Amen. That's a good thing to know, isn't it? I tell you what you're not going to be blessed for is turning a deaf ear when you see things that are going wrong right in front of your very eyes without saying anything about it. That's what you're going to hear from Jesus at that judgment seat of Christ. I really believe that. I believe that Jesus is going to say, hey man, you had an opportunity to talk to these young people and tell them what the right way was and you chose to turn your back. Hey, you knew this was going on right here in the confines of your church house. You didn't say anything about it. Guys, we're expected to be righteous as He is righteous. Guys, Jesus expects us to stand up for God's morality and call sin, sin, even when the world gets angry about it. If I'm the only person willing to stand up and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong in God's eyes, let me show you what God's Word says, and I get ridiculed for it, praise God for it, amen?
Amen.
That's all I can say is praise God for it. You know what? I want to go through the things my Savior went through. I don't mind getting persecuted for doing something right. Because in doing so, I'm earning treasure in heaven.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to be focusing on, guys. The birth of Jesus brought about a lot of things. It brought about a lot of changes, as we're going to read and study in the days and weeks ahead. You know, in Joseph's case, standing up for morality called for him to divorce Mary for what he believed was her betraying his trust. But now, because Joseph loved Mary, he was not going to do it the way that a lot of people would have chosen to do it. He was not going to drag her before the courts and run the risk of her possibly getting stoned to death. So he said, I'm just going to do this quietly. And when you did a divorce quietly and out of the public's eye, all you had to have was two witnesses to witness it. And then it was considered done. And then he could have went his way and she could have quietly went her way. But as we're going to see next week, oh, another angel of the Lord comes and appears to Joseph and says, Joseph, you marry this girl because what is in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. And there's nothing for you to be afraid of. We're going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. So as we're going to see in the next week, we're going to finish our discussion about Joseph after the angel visits him. And, oh, I didn't know what was going on. I thought something bad done happened up here. You know, when the boss starts coming up to the pulpit right in the middle of the sermon, it ain't good all the time. Amen. I thought she was fixing to get in the aisle and start praying. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't leave that one unnoticed there, honey. Guys, next week we're going to finish our discussion about Joseph and how he responds to the angel telling Mary that she's pregnant with Jesus. The important thing to remember here, guys, through all of this that I mentioned here this morning, is that we should be righteous in all that we do. Joseph was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was not going to just say, oh, you're pregnant, Mary? Oh, well, okay, well, let's just keep it as quiet as we can for as long as we can. No, he knew that was the wrong thing to do. So he was getting prepared to do the right thing that he felt in his heart he should do. You know, God expects that of us, and we owe it to him to be that way. We ought to strive to be righteous in everything that we do. Everything that we say, everything that we think, every way that we act ought to reflect Jesus in what we do. That ought to be evident in everything that we do. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. As we close out here today, it's just amazing to me when I realize just what all God has done for me and my family, for one. But do you understand? Now, here's Mary. I talked about this last week. Imagine the heartache she was fixing to set herself up for. She didn't understand this. Her son was going to be mocked and basically belittled in every place he went. They were going to accuse him of being a liar and even accuse him of being with the devil. Then he was going to be beaten and she was going to have to see him up on a cross dying right in front of her eyes. It was not an easy task for Mary to say, yes, I am more than happy to give birth to Jesus. I don't think she really understood all of that in the beginning. But oh, what a wonderful person she was, and Joseph was too, that they agreed to be Jesus' earthly parents. And I want to close by saying this, guys. We ought to all be thankful for our earthly parents. Now, I realize some people might not have had the best situations in life in the world, but thank God for those people who have been important in your life and who have helped take care of you along the way. For most of us, it's been mom and dad. For some of us, mom and dad may have died or whatever might be the case, but hey, thank God somebody was there. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the way it was here with Mary and Joseph. They were willing. And next week, we're gonna find out what happens when the angel comes and confronts Joseph and says, look, don't worry. Everything's okay. Guys, don't get bent out of shape about things in life. You know why everything's okay? If you're a child of God, He's got you in the palm of His hand. Amen. Mm-hmm. He's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about where your next meal's coming from if you know Jesus as your Savior. Amen. You don't have to worry about those things. So I want to close out today by saying this, guys. Let's be righteous in what we do. Let's be righteous. Let's strive to be righteous in everything. Be just men and women. That means we're going to do what God's called us to do, and we're not going to turn our back when we see things are being done wrong. We're going to step up and stand up for Jesus. Let's be willing to do that and not overlook the immorality that's going on in this world today. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing, parents, and I want to give you this little piece of advice. You don't have to worry about taking your kid and putting them here and there and everywhere. And you know, I'm not knocking what anybody does, but I'm going to tell you something. You instill godly principles in their lives. And Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, they will not depart from it. You instill the importance of serving a living Savior. You instill in them the importance of being righteous and watching out for other people and loving their neighbors. And they're going to be okay. I'm not saying they're not going to face a lot of things in this world, but I can promise you this, they will not go far from it. I've seen that happen a lot. So guys, just let's be righteous. Let's be righteous as He is righteous. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. Lord, I just want to add your blessings to this service. Lord, I thank You for giving me the words to say here today. Lord, I thank You for a humble couple, Mary and Joseph, who You chose and You found favor with to give birth to our Savior. Lord, what a great thing that was. And I'm just so thankful, Lord, that You chose to do that for us so that we might have an opportunity at eternal life. But Lord, in order to be able to experience that eternal life, we have to know You as our Savior. We can't just think we're good enough. We can't just assume that we're good enough to get to heaven. Because You tell us clearly in Your word, Jesus, that You are the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father but through You. And Father God, I just pray if there's anybody here today that needs to accept You as their Savior, they'll do that. I pray that if anyone needs to come up here to this altar and pray, that they'll do that. But God, above all, I pray that You'll help us to live righteous lives that'll be pleasing to You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, baby?
Hymn 205.
Hymn number 205. Let's stand and sing hymn 205. Mm-hmm.